2 weeks. Just as last year we were, say, very punctual. The shiur begins 9 o'clock sharp. The ending is not always as sharp as the beginning. The shiur is not always as sharp either. But we'll start at 9 o'clock, Mr. Shem. Are you able to hear me in the back? Is it okay? Go ahead. You can hear? Okay. I couldn't see you anyway, so I'm assuming the answer was it's okay. Just when I thought that I've seen all the Rosh HaTevis for Elul, of course, from the time that we were children, Ani L'day D'V'day D'li, I have my beloved is for me, this we're familiar with, and others that are brought down in many places, I was somewhat puzzled when I saw this year in the Megala Mukis a different Rosh HaTevis for Elul. And when you have something that comes from one of the Kadmonim, a person of that stature, it's not just a cute little thing. It's something that we have to understand. And it's telling us something about the very nature of this time, this entire time, the time of preparing. The Megala Mukis says that Elul stands for Arayn Luchais V'Shivrei Luchais. Aron Luchos V'Shivrei Luchos means the Ark, the Aron, that contained in it the Luchos, the tablets, V'Shivrei Luchos, and the broken tablets. And I spoke about this at length in Shul last week. We understand on the simplest level that the Inyan of Elul is the reminder that it's possible to fix all that's been broken. And not only that, but even those pieces of this past year, the shards of our mistakes and shortcomings, the hopes and the dreams of last year's Ne'ilah that have been broken, somehow they're also a part of our returning to Hashem at this time of the year. And those broken luchos, the broken tablets, are kept inside the Aron. And help us and are part of the tikkun. And our job is to try to understand on our level, what is it that we could do? What can we do? What are we supposed to be thinking about now? What are we supposed to be working on? There's so many things that we hear. There's so many things that we read. Let's go for a little stroll in the Beis Medrash of the Maral. Maral. Anybody who's ever read the Maral Sfarim knows that the Maral loved numbers. He loved numbers and he revealed great secrets in the numbers and the letters of the Aleph Beis. And in all of the Maral's writings, there's a clear distinction, there's a chilik between 6 and 7. Between the numbers 6 and 7. 6, the Maral tells us throughout his Sfarim, is a number of expansiveness, hispashtus. Because, in accordance to the understanding of Chazal and the Rishonim, there are 6 basic directions in physical reality. North, south, east, and west, on the plane, the 4 directions, and lamala, lamata, and above and below. Therefore, these 6 directions, the number 6, indicates the 6 furthest extremes, the 6 tzavos, the 6 ends of all existence. Therefore, the Maral says throughout his Sfarim, kol hispashtus hu b'sheish, whenever there's expansion. Expansion is always indicated by the number 6. And what is the number 7? So the Maral tells us that the Nekuda HaPnimis, that inner point, if we imagine this plane, that inner point is the 7th, because it's that inner point that is the Tachlis, all the hispastus, all of the expansion that's taking place in the world of six, leaves from that center point, and all eyes are turned towards returning to that center point, which is the essence, which is the goal, which is the ideal. That's the number seven. It's the number seven in the Maharal's writings, it's the number seven, that nekuda, that inner point, that holds the six points that could travel without end, that could disappear. There's that seventh center point that anchors all of the espastus, all of the expansiveness of six to return home. And the possibility of coming home is the number seven. Therefore, in the Sefer Yetzirah, the number seven is called Heichal HaKodesh, the Holy Sanctuary. And I don't have to explain, everybody knows what the number seven means in Yiddishkeit. That's called Heichal HaKodesh. And therefore, the Ikar HaMetzius, the essential, true reality of anything that exists in this world, is revealed in its seventh, in the number seven. Therefore, the Maharal explains that the seventh day is a day of menucha, of rest. And the reason that the seventh is a day of menucha, after the 6 days of action, the 6 days, the Shesh Yisimei Maisa, is because the Shesh Yisimei Breish is the 6 days of the week. During those 6 days, everything moves outward. Everything is extending itself. The world is in a process of expansion, of movement, of constant movement. Movement means change. Movement means going away from my home, from the place that I began. And the Shesh Yisimei Breish is the 6 days of creation, the 6 days of the week. Everything is in this process of espashtus. And we feel that. We feel that when we get on the train. We feel that when we leave home. We feel that at work. We feel it every moment of the 6 days of the week. We're not where we come from. We're not where we're supposed to return. We're away. And there's this espashtus away from who we really are and what we're supposed to be. That's the 6 days of the week. Therefore, Shabbos is a day of menucha. Because Shabbos means non-activity, not moving. It means stopping. Because, as the Maharal explains in all of his Svarim, when something is in the process of developing, it's moving. Development means change. It means movement. But when something is where it's supposed to be, so then it's in a state of menucha. Menucha here does not mean stop lying around reading a newspaper. Menucha means remembering where you come from and remembering the tachlis of all that you're doing in this world. That during the 6 days of espashtus, of separation, of movement, of expansion, when one goes to the furthest extremes of existence, in that world of espashtus, it's possible to forget. If the seventh wouldn't exist, if the seventh wouldn't exist, which is the rallying point, which is the reminder that there's a place to return to, then God forbid all life would lose its meaning. Therefore, in truth, the Maharal explains in his Svar that even though the number six seems to take everything in existence away from its point of beginning, and there seems to be no purpose and no direction, it seems to be totally random, in truth, the Maharal explains that somehow all of those 6 points are preparing for, are revolving around the seventh center point. They're in some way, even though they seem to be leading away, they seem also, in truth, they're leading towards. As is explained by the Tzaddikim, the whole concept of tshuva, Shuvosa haramosa kisham besa, says by Shmuel Hanavi. That Shmuel Hanavi used to travel around the entire Eretz Yisrael, judging and teaching. Uchuvosa, the word shuva means, uchuvosa haramosa, that from the moment that he would leave his home in Ramah, the moment that he would leave when you're traveling in a circle, there's every step that you take away from the beginning point is also a step towards the beginning. On a circle, every step away is a step towards returning home. And that's the concept of tshuva, that although the number six would seem to indicate that there's no hope, there's no goal, there's no tachlis, that's not true. In fact, all revolves and all returns, all rivers run to the sea, which is seven, which is Shabbos. Therefore, we understand. If somehow every single point of espashtus, of expansion, of expansiveness in this world, in some way, is on its way home, it's on its way to revealing, it's somehow preparing to reveal the true metzius of seven. Therefore, when you and I open up a sefer such as Shir HaShirim, the book of Shir HaShirim is a marshal. It's a marshal. There's a story. A prince, a young woman, it's a story. The book of Shlomo HaMelech, Mishlei, are all parables. That's the marshal. In the number six, you can sometimes get lost in the marshal. Just like there are people who, when they read Shir HaShirim, and Chazal were afraid of this, they believe that it's a simple love story. The Nimshal is Shabbos. The Nimshal is seven. In truth, the person of depth and of intelligence and understanding realizes that the 6 days of the week are also only preparing for seven. Just like the years of one's life, of running, of coming and going, are all to prepare for the world to come. Therefore, the person who is focused on seven remembers, although he's in the midst of the marshal, he remembers that there's an imshal. Although he's in the midst of the story, he remembers that there's meaning, that there's a reason. The story has some meaning and depth. Therefore, Erev Shabbos is exactly that. The sixth day has no real defining characteristic of its own. Every Jew grows up with that term, Erev Shabbos. A good Erev Shabbos. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky once said that even though in America, Baruch Hashem, there are many Jews who are Shem Shabbos. And you have Shem Shabbos dentists and doctors, and Shem Shabbos lawyers and optometrists and so on. And Shem Shabbos groceries and bakeries. Rabbi Yaakov said, it's true that here you have many Jews that are Shem Shabbos, but I don't see too many Jews who are Shem Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, in that world before America, before this life that we're used to, and in some tiny little corners of Eretz Yisrael, Erev Shabbos persists, where the life of a Jew in Erev Shabbos has no meaning other than how do I get to Shabbos? And from the moment that you wake up, the truth is that by my mother, who came from that world, that really I would begin to feel it even sometimes Wednesday night in the way that she spoke, in the way that she was moving. Thursday for sure. Erev Shabbos, there's nothing to talk about. It has no identity other than being a preparation for Shabbos. That's all that it is. It's Erev Shabbos. All that Erev Shabbos means is to gather. Erev Shabbos has this special and unique role. Its responsibility is, now that we've gone crazy in the 6 days of the week, and inside and out, we've been running to all these different directions of reality that seem to be taking us further away from our goals. Erev Shabbos is that rallying call. It's the beginning of the return home. That's why the identity that Erev Shabbos means, the troops are beginning to return. Therefore, the essence of Erev Shabbos is to take all that has become separate or apparently lost in the number six, through the 5 days, until that Erev Shabbos, six is the movement where the world begins its return to its original point. That's what six means, that's what Erev Shabbos is. Therefore, the sixth month of the year, is Elul. Because the definition of Elul is in months what Erev Shabbos is in days. Elul is a month that is entirely Erev Shabbos. Because throughout the months of the year, we get lost and we move away from the beginning, from the Tachlis. The sixth month is Erev Shabbos, the sixth month is Elul, to prepare us, just like Erev Shabbos is a preparation for Shabbos, and that's its essence. To bring everything back to its point of beginning. So too, the sixth month is Elul, because the essence of Elul and its entire identity is bringing us, preparing us for the seventh month, for Tishrei, for Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, for Sukkot, and so on. Therefore, you know that according to the Seder of the Degolim of how the Jewish people were divided in the desert, you know that every single month of the year corresponds to a certain tribe, to a certain Shevet. And the Arizal taught us that the month of Elul is the month of Shevet Gad, the tribe of Gad. Now, Gad is not one of those Shvatim that we usually spoke about growing up in school, correct? We didn't speak about Gad. Some Shvatim didn't seem to make it, Chas V'Shalom. By Ashkenazim, there are some Jews with the name Gad, but generally by Ashkenazim, the name is rarely used, much more frequently by Sfadim, which is a Pelet, one of the Shiftei Ka, one of the Shvatim. Shevet Gad is the Shevet of this month of El. Now, I once spoke about this, and this is explained in the Svar Makadoshim, and particularly when the Gedolei HaYushalayim discusses this by Arichus. The word in Hebrew, Gad, a name means something, it's not stam. Gad means to continue. Every word that contains the Gimel Dalet, even as the Gemara tells us, Gimel Dalet, Gimel Dalet means the one who has is giving to the one who doesn't have to enable him to continue. And the Gimel is chasing the Dalet to give. Gimel Dalet God means a hemshech. It means something has the ability to persist, to continue, to move on. Therefore, Lashna Kodesh L'moshel, Gedois HaNahar, the overflowing banks of the river. Words that have Gimel Dalet mean continuation. Even in the Lashon of the Chachamim, good osik, which means that you might have a world and physical reality is much shorter than halachic reality. But halacha says that there is such a way that even though this world is of that height, nevertheless, halacha looks at it as if it's continuing towards the schach, correct? As if the doifen, as if the wall of the sukkah has not stopped, but it's able to persist, to continue to go forward. And you also know that in Lashon HaKodesh, there are many words that mean one thing and mamish the opposite. Dever v'hipucha. And so too we find that we find many words that contain Gimel Dalet, those Isis together, where Gimel Dalet means just the opposite. It does not mean to continue. It doesn't mean to extend. It doesn't mean to persist. It means to cut off, to break, to shatter, to stop something. For instance, the word in Lashon HaKodesh for a fence is what? Geder. Geder means that which does not allow something to move forward. Right? It cuts down the hemshech. It stops the hemshech. That's a geder. And so it is with many of the words, we don't have time to go into it now, that contain these two aisyas in succession, Gimel Dalet. Therefore we understand. The nature, the essence of Shevet Gad, as it's revealed in Chumash, Baruch Marachiv Gad, the brach of Moshe Rabbeinu before he left this world was, Baruch Marachiv Gad, Marachiv Gad means, praised is the one, blessed is the one who broadens God, who extends. Harchava means for something, Harchava means when something is able to continue, it goes on. Right? Harchava, Baruch Marachiv God. Kilovi Shochein, it dwells like a lion. V'taraf Zroya Af Koid Koid. In war, God has the ability to tear off the arm and the head of the enemy. Taraf Zroya Af Koid Koid. He chose the place where to be, where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. And then it says, Vayeser Roshe'am, Tzidkas Hashem Asa, U'mishpotav Yisrael. That means that the tribe of God leads the people carrying out Hashem's justice. Leads the Jewish people. What does that mean? Rashi says, Heim hayu holchim lifnei acholutz bekibush ha'aretz. Shevet God would lead the Jewish people to war. They would lead, they would stand at the front of the troops leading us to war. God gedud yigudenu. God would lead us to war, Rashi says. Lefi shahayu giborim. Because they were great warriors. They were great warriors. As it says, it brings a pasuk, halutzim tavru lifnechem. They were great warriors and they would go lifnei before the rest of the Jewish people. That was Shevet God. So we understand that the whole mahusta essence of God is to be able to take something, to take the Jewish people who are being held back by our enemies. And the ability of God is to take the Jewish people and lead them towards the promised land, to lead us towards our destination, towards the tachlis. Whereas the rest of the Jewish people do not have this gevura. They are not the giborim that qualify, the warriors that qualify to lead. Everything about God means, where something appears to stop, God has the ability to do what? To cause it to continue. That's the nature of God. And that's what it means. That's connected to Chad Gadya, that's the nature of a Gedi, that animal, and all words that have the Isis Gimel Dalet. The whole Indian of Chad Gadya is the Ishtalshlis. Right? Vasakalba, until Vos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'shach Elam HaGemovis, and so on. All Hem Sheikhim are with Gimel Dalet. So the tribe of God has the ability to lead the Jewish people in the process of conquering our enemies. Therefore, God is entirely Erev Shabbos-dik. The same way that the meaning of the sixth day of the week is to do what? The sixth day of the week is to take the Jew by his hair and say, Rabbi, you forgot what you're doing in this world. Remember Shabbos, remember who you are. And the whole purpose of Erev Shabbos is to turn your head and to face once again the seventh point, which is Shabbos. So till the Jewish people can get that blundered in this world. And the Avodah of Shevet God is to take the Jewish people and to draw us towards that kivun, that direction. Therefore, the essence of Shevet God is it's in Gansen Erev Shabbos. And then Mimele we understand. This is how Shevet God is a Dover V'Hipulchai. It means also the opposite. Remember that the Lashon of God also means to break, to shatter, which is the opposite of a Hemshech. How does this fit in? So it says in Medrash, and the pasuk that time Leah bo God, when Leah Imenu had the trial, she said, "God has arrived, bo God." That tikra shmoi God, and she named the child God. The Medrash says on the pasuk, and this pasuk when Leah Imenu names God, Chazal say in Medrash, "Bo misha osid le gadeid mishtison shel oivde kechavim." Who was Leah Imenu thinking about? She said, "Bo God, bo Hashem." You know who's come to the world? Who's going to come from this little baby? The one who in the future is going to break and shatter idol worshippers, our enemies. Umanu, and who's that person? So the Medrash says, no, who knows who's the person? Eliyahu. Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu comes from Shevet God. How that works out with the Gemara and Hamakabal, that he was a Kayan, and where he comes from, it was discussed in Taisimus there in Bav Metzia, another place we're not going to go into right now. Eliyahu, from the time that we're children, we're singing, and we know he's had Giladi. And Giladi means he's from Shevet God. And that's where he was from, and that's where he was. So here, Chazal are telling us that when Leah Imenu gave birth to God, she rejoiced, and she said, Bo God, the one who was going to break, was going to crack and destroy Avdei Avodah Zarah, our enemies, has come into the world in potential. with the birth of the child God. Eliyahu HaNavi is from the tribe of God. God means gidud, it means crease, it means cutting something off. The point here is that this is uniquely connected to Eliyahu HaNavi. Since Eliyahu HaNavi is altogether Erev Shabbos Dik, how is Eliyahu HaNavi Erev Shabbos Dik? It's the holy meaning of Kol Mevasim Mevasim Oimer. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come to the world Erev Shabbos, Otot, it's going to be Shabbos. And the holy meaning of Eliyahu HaNavi is to do what? Is to take the Jewish people by the hand. And to remind us that there's coming, it's going to be Shabbos, it's going to be Mashiach. And in order to do that, Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi HaGilodi, has to be able to remove all obstacles, all obstructions that stand in the way of the Jewish people coming to Yerushalayim, of the Jewish people coming to whom they have to become. Therefore, the Inyan of Eliyahu HaNavi, how could it be God means one thing or the other? Yes, because God means I remove, I cut down all that is in the way of the Jewish people, that's Eliyahu HaNavi. I cut down all that is in the way in order to facilitate the continuation of the Jewish people's march to the end of time. That's what God means. That's what Eliyahu HaNavi means. Therefore, it says in Svarim that the name Eliyahu is the Oisius, I once said last year, Oisius Halavai. What does that mean? Eliyahu is Halavai. It says in Svarim. Because Eliyahu, just like Erev Shabbos, the whole Erev Shabbos is only one big Halavai. All it means, Eliyahu means, if only it will be already. You see, before Eliyahu, people are not even thinking Halavai. Because it seems to be so far off, I can't even think of it, it's too painful. I'm too far away from home. But Eliyahu HaNavi already is that awakening of Halavai. It's going to be. Because Eliyahu HaNavi means Erev Shabbos. Therefore we understand that he comes from Shevet God who leads us, who prepares us for the conquest of the land, who takes us weiter, further. And therefore it's truly remarkable that the gematria of God in the most simple gematria is what? 7. Apella. God is also the 7th tribe that was born. God is the 7th Shevet. Because here is the mystery of the joining together, the interfacing of those two worlds. The world of 6 and the world of 7. 7 is Kulay Shabbos and Menucha. 7 means Tachla. 7 means I'm home. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is Meshuggah. 5.5 is Meshuggah. But it starts to get already Erev Shabbos, Yetzer Chatzos, gets a mikveh, right? And nowadays it's not so posh to go by Chatzos. But to get ready for Shabbos, to make the Hachanis, there's an interfacing of those two worlds, 6 and 7, because it must be. Because since the whole tachlis of 6 is let's get back to 7, must speak. It's already enough for this fastus with the, it's already enough with the 6 days of the week. Therefore, Shevet God, who removes the obstructions, Shevet God who reminds us and mekaven us, sets us back towards Shabbos. Therefore, Shevet God, God is the gematria 7, and God is the 7th Shevet that was born. Because the whole purpose of God, the whole purpose of the number 6 is to come back to 7. The whole purpose of Eliyahu HaNavi is to bring Mashiach. And that's the meaning of Halavai. I'm going through this now and I believe that it's only to bring me to what I have to come to what I have to be brought to. Therefore, it's a remarkable thing. The beginning of the conquest, the beginning of the Milchama, before Yericho, before Sefer Yeshua, the beginning of the Milchama was in the month of Elul. In the month of Elul, we have a Kabbalah from Chazal. That's when the war took place, when Sichon was conquered. Sichon was conquered. It was the beginning of the conquest. It was heading towards Eretz Yisrael. That Milchama, as Chazal tell us, was completely chutz migidra teva, was completely supernatural, the victory that we had. L'sichayin melech ha'amayri ki l'olam chazdai, that's what we daven. So it's interesting. Elul, which is the month of God, right? Elul is the month of God, according to the Arizal. And Elul is what? The 6th month preparing for the 7th, which is Tishrei. It's the whole Bechina of Erev Shabbos. Therefore, the first revelation of the ability of the Jewish people to fight. Fighting means you're not going to stop me. I'm going.
I'm getting to where I want to go. I'm going to Yerushalayim. I don't care what they built there. I don't care what's in the way. There's no politician. There's no Palestinian. I'm getting to Yerushalayim. I'm getting to the Har HaBayis. The beginning of our movement towards Har HaBayis was in the month of Elul with the Kibush of Sichon. In the month of Elul, because Elul means Erev Shabbos. Elul means the tribe of God. And that's the inyan of every milchama. The meaning of a milchama, the Jewish people do not engage in warfare. We are not warrior. We are not a warrior-like people. That's not our tachlis, to fight. We don't believe in fighting stam for the sake of fighting to have more wealth, to accumulate more possessions. That's not the tachlis of our milchamas. The inyan of a milchama is to continue. The inyan of a milchama is not l'shem milchama, but because there's something that's obstructing our path, and whatever is in the way of the Jewish people who need to go, who need to become, to reach their tachlis, must be removed. The male of the sixth month is Elul. And the seventh tribe is God. And the Muhammad begins to bring us towards Shabbos, which is the seventh month, which is Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Hashanah Rabbah, Shmini Atzeres. So the question is now, how do we fight L'maisa? Okay, it's a month of war. Elul is a month of fighting. We're now holding already, we're getting to an advanced point in the month of Elul. And the question is, have we been fighting so far? And how do we fight, and what type of a milchama do we wage? What type of a war is this? So you know, the Torah tells us that not every Jew is allowed to go out to war. Not just a question of age. Not every Jew is qualified to be a warrior. Whereas God, B'nai God, are the embodiment of that characteristic. There are certain types of Jews who are disqualified. And who are the Jews that are disqualified? So the Torah tells us there are Jews who are ayore, who are achalevo, there are people who are frightened. They're frightened people. They're lacking in some courage. Chazal explained, the Gemara in Saita, Rav Yosef Glili explains, what does it mean? Are these people who are simply cowards? No. The Gemara says, Zeha misyarei min ha'averis shebiyada. It's talking about a Jew who is frightened because of the averis that he's done. And therefore he doesn't feel worthy to go to war. That would be a very tough army to put together, right? So Chazal tell us there in the Gemara that it's referring to a specific averis. What's that Aveira? So the Gemara says, Soch ben tefila, tefila Aveira hi biyada. A man that speaks between putting on his tefillin shel yad, the tefillin of the arm, and the tefillin shel roish, and the tefillin of the, that's one on the head. Soch ben tefila, tefila, the Gemara says, Aveira hi biyada, what's an Aveira? And even if he began to go to war, you bring him home. He is disqualified from fighting in a war. Asach ben tefillah letefillah. Jew that talks between tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. What does that mean? Why is it that interrupting the flow between the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, the rosh and the yad? Why is it that that interruption, the tefillin shel yad that's worn opposite the heart? Why is that interruption, why does that have the ability to passel, to disqualify a Jew from being in the milchama? So Rabbeinu Osher, the Rosh explains that Gemara, and he says an astounding thing. The Rosh explains, Al shei mitzvahs tefillin, shetiknu yiskayim ba'anshe milchama, v'torah zroya af koit kod. Half of the good thing. The Rosh says that the greatest warriors of the Jewish people come from God. They lead us to war. The bracha of God was to have the ability to tear at the enemy, to have particularly great strength and overcoming, tearing off, ripping off the heads and the arms of the enemies. So Rabbeinu Osher says, this is the koyach of tefillin.
that is worn on the arm that's worn on the head. Taraf Zraya Af Kait Kait. This is a hint to the tribe of God, who are uniquely qualified to lead us to war. A Jew who speaks between the Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, he has proclaimed, I am not a God type, I am not a God-like, not God-like, with the comments, I'm not a God-like person. I'm not a God type of an individual. Why? Because this individual, he is frightened. I'll explain the fear in a moment. He is on a regular basis interrupting the flow between the Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh. How do we understand that on our level? And this is the whole bracha of God. The whole bracha of God is what? The koyach of joining together in war. Of strengthening the arm, connecting it to the head. So that they have the power to tear apart the enemies. What does that mean? Tefillin is explained already by the Kadmonim. The word tefillin, teifel, means to connect, to bind. And we understand, ksharatim, tefillin means to connect, it means to bind. And the meaning of that is, there are many, many things that you and I would like to do. There are many Yerushalayims that you and I have intended to conquer in our lives. Whether it's Lashon Hara, we want to overcome that problem. Whether it's a question of being entirely honest in our business dealings. Whatever it might be, Kedushas Hayinayim, Shemiras Hayinayim, Kedushas Habris, whatever it is. You and I have many Yerushalayims that we'd like to get to. In our minds, we're way ahead of where we actually are. Lemaisa. This separation between the Rosh, the Tefillin Shel Rosh, and the Tefillin Shel Yad means I can't conquer the place. I can't continue. I have wonderful thoughts, but I can't carry them out the pile. The arm means carrying something out, right? There are many, many dreams that I've had of becoming better. Last year's thoughts of Ne'ilah were sincere, but I never got to Yerushalayim this year. I never made it. I'm not talking about Aliyah. I never made that point of seven of tshuva in my life. I never came home. I dreamt of it last year. When I said Hashem Elokim, I was absolutely certain I would not fail in that inyan. I remember I had once a Yom Kippur, the whole Aseret Mitzvah, I was upset about something that I had done wrong that year, a specific thing that really, really upset me. And the whole Aseret Mitzvah, Shana Aseret Mitzvah, Yom Kippur, I was working primarily on this inyan. With Avoid and Vechias, you know, the works. An hour and a half after Yom Kippur, I was nichshel. An hour and a half after Yom Kippur, I botched it up again. This inyan. An hour and a half. I mean, it's nothing to be proud of. But Lemaisa, that's the problem. Lemaisa. I have a Tefillin Shel Rosh, a big Tefillin Shel Rosh. A Tefillin Shel Yad, a little tiny Tefillin Shel Yad. The thoughts that I have, the dreams and the hopes of what I want to become, are profound, are beautiful. But what happens somewhere along the way, I don't make it past my enemies. There's an obstruction. I get blocked. I don't get through. I can't conquer. I can't continue. Therefore, you understand that this person is described in Torah as someone who is rach. It's hard to translate the word rach. What does it mean, rach? Soft, right? This is a person who is soft-hearted. Rach. Now, you understand, rach alevav means, in something that is soft, the nature of something is soft, is that there is no continuity between one thread and the other thread. There are spaces in between. It's guidance. It doesn't go. The softness of something, which we love to have in a pillow, the softness that you like to have in a piece of material, but rakus, that midah of rach, which is nice when it comes to midas, because when it comes to midas, it means you're a person, you're easy to get along with, you're a nice guy, you're a nice girl, you're not rigid, you're flexible. Why are you flexible? Because you're rach. What does rach mean? Just like a material. It means there are spaces in between. That's what makes something rach. There are spaces in between. That means that one piece of fabric is not conquering the next one. That means that one thread is not connecting to the next one. That creates a state of rakus. And the opposite of that is what? To be kosher. That quality of kashius. Kosher means where all the parts of something are mechubarim, right? It means there's a total conquest. Nothing gets in the way. It goes weiter. It's not stopped. It's not obstructed. That creates the consistency, the texture of something that's hard. It doesn't stop. It doesn't pause along the way. It doesn't have this setback. It conquers the entire thing. It is focused. It has a kivun. It has direction. And it goes towards that tachlis, towards its goal. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim, Umeacher, Sheyikonez Bekishre al-Mulchamer Yishan al-Mikvi Yisrael. Once Jewish people are ready in a state of war, they should trust, they should rely upon the hope of Yisrael. Mikvi Yisrael, Hashem, who's called our hope. Umeshiyah Be'Sar, who saves us, who redeems us in a time of tsars. The Yeh, that he should know. Shal Yichud Hashem Hu Oysim Mulchamer. He's not stunned. This isn't a matter of imperialism. He's fighting for the Yichud Hashem. He's fighting to get the Shabbos. He's fighting to get the Beit HaMikdash. He's fighting to have Mashiach. This is the real thing. Therefore, the Rambam writes, V'yosim nafshei bekapo. Place his soul in his hands, which means be courageous. V'lo yirav lo yifochei, not to be afraid. V'lo yachshev, he should not think about when he's at war. V'lo be'ishto, not about his wife. V'lo be'bonav, not about his children. Wipe out them, any thoughts, any external thoughts, wipe out from your mind. If you're sitting there, you're in the middle of a milchama, and God forbid, you're on the battlefront, right? You're right there, and you're sitting in a tank, and you start to reminisce, oh, you remember Shlomi's bar mitzvah? You remember, it was so good, and Zaidi was there, and Bubi, it was gewaldi. That's ois milchama. That's it. That's no more milchama. Therefore, the Rambam says, war, to be a warrior means to be focused. To be a warrior means you go vital, you go to the end. Nothing stops you. Therefore, the Rambam says, you forget about your family, you forget about anything else in the world. There's one thing, Yichud Hashem, the Harabais. That's all. You shall lie. That's all there is. And in your life, it means that thing that you need to fix. You don't get sidetracked. All the other cheshbonos, the hin and the hair, you wipe out of your mind, and you go to where you need to go. That's how you win a war. That's how a Jew fights a war. That's a milchama. That's how a person has nitzachim. That's what it means that the whole nature of Elul, which is the first war that the Jewish people fought, led by Shevet Gad. That world of Eliyahu HaNavi, which is focused towards the end, Mevaser V'Omer, to go weiter, not to stop. Leading towards Tishrei, which means towards Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that it should be a real Rosh Hashanah, a real Yom Kippur. But a person who talks Hasach ben Tefillah Tefillah, a Jew who talks between the Tefillah Shel Yad and Tefillah Shel Rosh, he doesn't see this kav, he doesn't see this line, he doesn't see this continuity. He gets sidetracked, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, he's not in that world of 6 as it's moving towards 7. Therefore, Mimela, he's Racha Leivav, he's lacking in courage. His mind is in one place. He would like to be a warrior. He's thinking of conquering, but Lamaisa, he's not able to carry out. There's no hemshech, there's no continuity from his mind to his hands. I want to learn this and this year. I want to finish this Mechsecht of Gemara. I want to be able to talk a certain way to my husband, to my wife. I want to learn a new way of talking to my children. Rebbein Shlom, I've been to 1,000 seminars already. How many books can you buy? They already have in the Jewish bookstores entire sections. That which our grandparents would have laughed about. Entire sections just to tell you, stop yelling at your kids. They don't have to even have the books. Just put up a big sign. Don't yell. And afal pi kein, we're not managing. We're not succeeding. It's not working. We have so many good plans. We sit by the maps of our ideas. And we plot out wonderful things for the new year. Wonderful things. But without that world of God, without that warrior, koyach, of the Torah, zraya afkoid koid, the mind and the arm, to tear down, like Eliyahu HaNavi, all that stands in the way between you and the way you know you must become, what you have to be, the person you need to be. Everybody knows that the conclusion of the days of judgment of Din are with a sign of victory. And everybody knows the Chazal tell us that when the Jewish people hold up their Lulavim and their Esraigim, everybody knows that that means Man Denosev, the one who's holding this B'yodei Ananyodin Man Notzach. The Gemara says, Chazal tell us that when the Jewish people walk on Sukkot, they're holding their Lulavim, it means, I didn't know until now there was a judgment, there was some sort of a war that was taking place. I didn't know who was victorious. Who would come out of the days of judgment victorious? And when I see the Jewish people holding up the Lulavim, we say, Ha, Didon Natzach, Tzenitzach, we won the war. What's the Milchama? Who's the war with? What kind of a war? Now the Teretz is, we know that during these days of the year, there's a Milchama that's taking place between the Jewish people and the nations of the world. And this is revealed especially in the Yontif of Sukkot, with the Karbanos and so on. There's a Milchama that's taking place. There's a war that's taking place. There's a judgment that's taking place. Why? Because there are two types of human beings in the world. Even though anthropologists will count many more, we know you have to descend to the very depths to see the real chiluk, and there the chiluk is profound. The two opposite ends of reality, Yaakov and Esav. In Pnimius, they have nothing in common. Chazal say about Yaakov lo meis. What does it mean, Yaakov lo meis? He never died. That means you can't stop him. Death doesn't stop Yaakov. The Jewish people cannot be stopped in this milchama to get to the end of time. Yaakov lo meis. By Esav is fakir, what does it say by Esav? He na nech helech lom. By Esav is just the opposite. His name means asui, which means I'm done, I'm finished. Yaakov is loshen eikov, which means it's the beginning from the heel to work my way up towards the head. The whole Indian of Esav is what? Amalek has no end. The whole Indian of Yaakov Avinu is that we're in the process, we're marching forward through history. No one can get in our way. It seems that at times that we're distracted. It seems that we've made some detours along our very difficult path towards Yerushalayim. But we started history and we can get to the end. We're going to make it to the finish line. Each and every one of us is going to make it to the finish line. And all that means, because Yaakov lo meis, Oyed Avinu chai. Esav, Reishis Goyim Amalek, V'achrisoi Adei Oyvei. There is no end to Amalek. There's only the noise of beginning. There's only the tumult that it makes through history. But Seif Kol Seif, the end of all things, V'achrisoi Adei Oyvei, it has no continuity, it cannot go on. So the din, what's the din of Rashon between us and Esav, between Yaakov and Esav? The question is as follows. Every Rosh Hashanah, you are being judged. Mi yichya u'mi yomus. Do you think that mi yichya mi yomus, it means pashas, we want to be alive, we don't want to die, chas v'shalom. But mi yichya mi yomus doesn't only mean physically who's going to live and who's going to die. Because you think if we made it through the last year, so we're all alive, Baruch Hashem, we should be alive with all of our families and all Klai Yisrael, there's only been 20 years. Baruch Hashem. Therefore what? Therefore we're in that bechina of Yaakov lo meis? That's not true. Every year, Rosh Hashanah, that tefillah, mi yichya, nesantai mi yichya, mi yomus. Who is going to live and who is going to die? The question is, where do you find meaning in your life? Is it in the world of Yaakov? Is it in the world of Esav? If you are in Yaakov Avinu's team, that means you are in that world that's called lo meis. It doesn't die. You're in the place of truth. Lo meis is the oisius emes li Yaakov. You are in that place of truth, and you are on that road towards the conquest of Yerushalayim. But if, God forbid, you connect to that world of Esav, and you identify, look at how many conquests I made this past year. Last year I was making a certain amount of money, this year I conquered another desk in my office. Last year my house stopped in the backyard at a certain place. Baruch Hashem, look at this year, there was a kibush mamish. That this year my house doesn't stop, it goes weiter. My house continues beyond its natural limitations. Look at me. I until this point I only had a certain amount. I had this piece of paper, that degree. I had this. I had these things in this world. And look at this year, Baruch Hashem, I conquered new territory.
It should be good by all Jews. But that conquest is a conquest that only Esav prides himself in. So, the conquest of a Jew? The conquest of a Jew. The question is, in whose milchama are you fighting? Where is your milchama? Why do you fight? What do you get upset about? What are you angry about? Are you angry about a shortcoming, a failure to hold on to some kedusha? Or you get more frustrated when you can't hold on to a stock long enough, right? That's the shaila. Whose milchama are you in? On whose team? For whom are you rooting? If you find yourself, like many of the guys, that they get meshuggah, ball games in the World Series, to enjoy is one thing. But this is my chiyas. That's a person's chiyas. If that's your chiyas, that means you're fighting on the other team. You're on the enemy's team. Every aveir lo'alayim means a concession to the enemy. Every aveir. So therefore, it comes to the month of Elul, we ask the Baruch Shalom, we're getting ready to say Kasveinu l'chaim, l'chabetz v'chaim. Kasveinu l'chaim doesn't mean stand to be alive, although halavai, kulei hai, we should all be well. But Kasveinu l'chaim, to have that ksiva b'sefer chaim, it means what we've been saying this whole month. Let's understand what it means. If you look at that kapitel in Tehillim that we've been saying, the whole kapitel is about war. Think about it. It's about fighting a war. That's what the kapitel is about. The enemy camp is rising up against me. My heart is not afraid. The opposite of what? The person who's afraid to go to war. The one who's interrupting that milchama. Im tachna le machna lo yira libi. Im tokum alay mulchama, when there's a war that I'm in, b'zayis ani b'itayach. I have trust in Hashem, I trust in the kaychis that He gave me to go weiter. Achas sha'alti meis Hashem, there's one thing, look how focused. That's how you fight a war. Achas sha'alti meis Hashem, oysa avakesh. And the end is, kavei el Hashem. Kavei, to have hope in Hashem, mikvi Yisrael, kavei is the lotion of kav. A kav means there's a line that connects the beginning to the end. That's what it means, kaveh. Kaveh l'Hashem. So it's hard. Chazak v'yametz libecha. Nachamol. V'kaveh l'Hashem. That's what it means, kaveh. Kaveh is from l'oshen of tikva, to have hope. To have hope, not to give up hope. Not to give up hope, no matter what's gone wrong this past year, never to give up hope in what you can become, that you can get to that place that's called Yerushalayim in your life. That's what it means, kaveh l'Hashem. It means a lev kosher, not a rachaleva. You know, many people think, this is when I begin to apologize for being late. We started a little bit late. Many people are afraid and they never go to war. You know why? Over the years that I'm talking to Hever, I would have to say thousands of times I'll have someone, one of the students of Hever, come and say, I'm going through a terrible Yerida. Yerida is one of the most common words that's used among B'nai Torah and B'nai Torah. Yerida, someone that knows a little bit fancy will say, a nefila, that's like even worse, a nefila. It's finished. I'm on the bottom. Yerida means I'm going down. Nefila means I hit bottom, right? Listen and understand. There is this misconception that is so dangerous, and I have to talk about it more in Mishnah maybe next week. There is this misconception that if I am fighting a milchama, that means that I'm not such a good boy or good girl. Because if I would really be a good Jew, I would never have other thoughts when I'm saying Shemoneh Esrei. I would just go straight through with the highest kavanah, with the deepest kavanah. And I would never have any problems with people that I meet, the things that encounter me in life. I would never have any problems. In other words, we very often, and it has a lot to do with some things that the people hear in Shmuzin, or they might have read about in some Svarim. So what happens very often to people is that they think like this. That's cool for that period of my life where my avoidance Hashem came easily. Oh, it was so nice in yeshiva when I was able to go through different, you know, I was able to go through a couple of masachtas and I didn't have such a big yetzar. Oh, Hashem looks back and he thinks, what, you know, you were a real Jew. Now you're not a real Jew. You know why? Because now you're at war. You hear what a mistake that is? The biggest nachas ruach that the Rebbe Shalom has is davka when a Jew is fighting a milchama. It's davka when he's fighting a milchama. That's the tachlis of creation. There are very few people that are on a madrega of a tzadik gomer, whatever that means, it's explained in Tanya, to be on a madrega of a tzadik gomer, tzadik v'toyv lo, who even knows what that means?
It's most likely not any of us here. To be a tzaddik v'toivloi, elo what? Fighting a milchama is not a bedeved. That's why we were put into this world, to fight those milchamas. To make our way all the way to Yerushalayim. Therefore, you'll find this very often, that what will happen is that a person will say like this. I mentioned this in shul last week. I'll give you an example. I had one of my boys came to me a couple of years ago, and he said, Rebbe, it was before Yom Tov, he says, Rebbe, I've been thinking a lot, and I decided I really have to, I want to make a change in my life. And I was all excited, because this is a fellow that could use a couple of tune-ups, right? And I was excited. And he's telling me he's going to make an important change in his life. I'm thinking, you know, it could be one of many items. So he says this, and I look at him, you know, he sat down and he was very, very intense. And I said, what is it? He says, you know, I think I'm ready to wear a garter. What is this? He's ready to wear a garter. This is the milchama. What's the milchama? You go to a store, you pay $10, you get a garter. You want a fatter one, you get it for $20. You want a skinny one, you get it for $2. This is the milchama. Not Gilai Rice, not Shmichel Dom, not Avodah Zarah. No? Nothing. My mother doesn't want me to wear a gartel, but I have defeated her. And I'm going to wear that belt. I said to him, what do you mean? Half the people from China and Korea wear black belts. You're getting a gartel. This is your milchama. Groyser milchama. You're so proud of your... This is your change. So what's the matter with that? You know, because he knew that that's a war that he could win. People always like to fight wars that they could win. They never like, because they don't have to fight. So it's a machaya. You just glide right into the finishing, you know, to the finishing line. And everybody would like that. But if it's something that you really have to work on, you don't like to think of this. Those are the al-khais that you go through first. The ones that are no big deal, then you'll say, oh, al-khais, because you know that maybe here I could do something about it. But the ones that you feel there's no hope, al-khais, first. Not getting involved in this one. Because I can't fight this war. It's not my milchama. Because a milchama means I'm a weakling. A milchama means I'm a nobody. Tzaddikim, they don't have any milchamas. You ever read all those books? There's not one story of any milchama. In all those lives of the tzaddikim, they finished Shas when they're six. They start going to the mikveh before they were born. In all of those stories, there's not one problem. And I'm not that kind of a guy, because everything in my life I have to fight for. And in America, fighting for something is not looked up to. In America, everything has to be fast. So if it's a milchama, I don't want to be in a milchama. Therefore, in one's avoidance Hashem, they will choose to work on things where there's no milchama. There's no milchama, and only you in the Baruch Hashem knows what battlefields need to be conquered and what are those that are not important and not significant in your life. Whether this guy puts on a gartel or not makes no difference at all in his avoidance. But whether or not he looks in the right way, goes to the right place, that's going to make all the difference in his life. But that's the milchama he feels. Why should I go to that battlefield? I've lost it 100 times already. I can't win. That is a person who's a rach leva. That's a coward. That's someone who's talking between tfilin shel yad and tfilin shel rosh. That's a Jew that doesn't go weiter. The second something comes in his way, which is what? Or you read in the fila, whatever you want to call it. That's it, I'm finished, no good. I'll choose some new type of an avaida. Even when people learn, they come to a difficult, you know, a difficult plot, difficult place. I think I'll try a different mesachta. It's not going. It's not going. In yeshiva, from one rebbe to the next, have boys jump? No? It's unbelievable. You know, I'm not matzlich with this, I'm not matzlich. Nobody's matzlich with anybody, and they're just, everybody's going around from person to person, from yeshiva to school to... If there's no feeling that in America that I have to, sometimes you can't, so listen, sometimes it's a problem, but there's no concept here that I'm in a milchama and I'm going to win the milchama. And God gedud yigudanu, I'm going to fight. Therefore, a Jew has to understand the chashivas of being in the tzva Hashem. The chashivas of being a warrior. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. That's what the whole month of Elul is about. That's what Holy Yom Nirayim is about. To be proud. You had mechshalim. You got stuck in the middle sometimes, you didn't get through the enemy territory, this year will be a better year, either of them. The Baal Tanya says you can only win a milchama with a niggun. Right? You know that especially in Lubavitch, those who are familiar with the nigunim of Lubavitch, the kind of marches that they have, and the marches, and that even, especially in the later years of his life, Lubavitch Rebbe Schussi again, how he took, you know, the French national anthem, after Yom Kippur. After Yom Kippur.
French nationalists, you know the Lubavitchers hate the French, Kiddua. Because that was the whole thing with Napoleon. And they were the arch enemy of the Balatanya was Napoleon. So what's the niggun? Because the Balatanya said that only when a Jew feels that he wants to get there, and he feels that he could do it, and he does it with a niggun, and he goes out to war, that's how you're able to win a Muhammad. But if you walk in like this, I can't, I don't think so, I don't know, you walk in like this, you're ready on your way back. It's not even shayach. And you spend the whole life saying, I could have, I should have, I would have, I meant to, I was going to do that this year. That's not a war. That's not how a Jew fights a war. And I saw an interesting thing, that I saw a story, it's a true story, a friend of mine wrote it up in a journal, that there was a Baal Tshuva in Yerushalayim that was going through a very difficult time. He was going through a real hard time. And he had to get from Har Nof to Geula. The problem is that, you know, in Eretz Yisrael after 12 o'clock, everybody turns, all the buses turn into pumpkins, right? After 12 o'clock, there are no buses. So how's he gonna get there? He felt so emotionally and physically drained, he probably couldn't go on. And so he didn't know what to do, so he stood over there, I don't know if he was waiting for a lift. So finally some fellow pulled up, but he could only take him to give a show. He still needed to get to Geula. And he's standing there, he can't move, he's so exhausted, he's so troubled. So finally, a chassidish guy pulls up in a broken down car, he goes in, and he takes him, they don't even talk, they don't discuss anything in the car, and they go all the way, and he takes him to Geula, Meshar, wherever. And he gets off, this fellow gets off, and he felt, you know, I should say, he wanted to thank the guy, and he said, listen, I have to tell you, so the Baal Tshuva said to the chassid, I have to tell you something. Right before you came, I was davening so hard. I was davening because I felt like I mamish didn't have the strength to go on. I didn't have the strength to go on, and I davened, please, Rabbi Shalom, send me a car already, I can't go on. I have no strength. And just as I said that, you pulled up. So the chassid said, Shaita, you idiot. You should have davened for more strength. That's what you should have davened for. You should have davened for more strength. Because a Jew has to daven for the ikker and not for the tafel. You have to know what the main thing is, not the secondary thing. If you would have davened for more strength, you would have been able to handle, you wouldn't have needed the car, you wouldn't have needed, for more strength. That's what we need to daven for more strength. To get to home base, to get to the end, to get to Shabbos, to get to Mashiach. No halavai. This year, as it ends, should be the ending of all difficulties and all loneliness and all clawless that any one of us, that our people has been going through, and it should be the beginning of brachas, and we should be nechtom and nechtom with our families and all Klai Yisrael. B'sefer Achayim. B'chayim Amitiyim. B'chayim Nitzchiyim. That we should be zeiche to make it back to Yerushalayim, to the Har Habayis, and to say, the kibush is complete, to be there together, Mashiach Tzukeinu, the Gula Hashlema V'Hamitis, from him, Yemenu, Amen, Amen.